We're turning together this evening in God's Word to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 15. And moving down that chapter, we're going to take up our reading this evening at the 50th verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 50. And the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. This evening I would like to draw your attention to the words of verse 57. And we take this verse as our text. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the title of my message this evening is simply Victory in Jesus. Let us unite together now and ask the Lord for help as we come to the ministry of his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that once again we can still our hearts in thy holy presence. And we do thank thee, O God, that thou hast promised that thine ear is attentive unto the voice of our supplication. And as we come to thee, O God, our prayerful desire would be for thy presence and for thy blessing to be our portion this evening. We confess, O God, our great need of thee. We confess that without thee we can do nothing. And therefore, our Father, we come and we pray that thou wouldst add thy blessing to the word this night, and grant our Father it would be to the salvation of some precious soul or even souls that would hear. Father, continue with us now. Pour out of thy Spirit upon us and glorify thy name in and through us this night. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, on Friday past, the 8th of May 2020, it marked the 75th anniversary of VE Day. And if you haven't already heard, VE stands for Victory in Europe. And it points back to that date, 75 years ago in 1945, when there was the unconditional surrender of Germany to the Allied forces. And it sparked widespread celebrations throughout our land, throughout our nation, and yea, even throughout the world. In the UK, it is estimated that approximately 1 million people took to the streets to mark the occasion of the end of World War II. London was, of course, very much at the centre of those celebrations, and crowds gathered in the streets Crowds gathered in Trafalgar Square and reaching right up the Mall to the gates of Buckingham Palace. Thousands upon thousands of people. And there the King, King George VI, he appeared there on the balcony with his Queen Elizabeth and also with the then Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill. And they appeared on the balcony to the waving crowds. The story is told of the young Princess Elizabeth, who of course is now our Queen, and Princess Margaret, that during the festivities and the celebrations, that they slipped out the gates of Buckingham Palace and they mingled there with the crowds just to savour the atmosphere, to join in the celebrations. They were unrecognised and unnoticed. And so we know that not only in London, but right across the UK, there were those street parties, there were concerts, there was the widespread celebration. I have a photograph at home, an original black and white photograph, and it's of a street party in East Belfast, and you can see all of those in the street gathered for that party, and the tables that were laden with the food, and there's a little boy at the front of that picture, sitting on the pavement with his dark hair. He wouldn't have been 10 years of age. And that young boy was to become the minister of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church and remains your senior minister today. And you might say to me, well, why do I have the photograph? Well, it's because my mother is in the same photograph as a babe in arms. And that's just an example of many of the street parties that were held right across the United Kingdom. And it was hoped that this year, being the 75th anniversary, that there would be something of a repeat of that, just to mark the special occasion. But of course, due to the restrictions in place around the pandemic of COVID-19, all of those celebrations had to be postponed or greatly scaled back from what was planned. But we can still give thanks to the Lord for that time. We give thanks to the Lord for His preserving and providential hand upon our land and nation, for God's mercy in delivering us from the domination of the enemy. We would want to praise God for His mercy and the great deliverance and the victory that was wrought in Europe at that time. And with all of the publications in recent days, all of the publicity surrounding the anniversary and thinking of VE and thinking of victory, it brought me to think of that greater victory. In fact, it's the greatest of all victories. It's the victory of the gospel, the victory that was won for us at the cross of Calvary and brings that great deliverance to us. And you can see, as the Apostle Paul in our text of Scripture, he refers to that victory with thanksgiving. He says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's our theme this evening, victory in Jesus. But you know, as we think of victory, whether it be victory in Europe or the victory of the gospel, we could think firstly about the conflict. The conflict. And here in the gospel, we know that there was the conflict with Satan. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who wrought the victory for us over Satan. But when you think of the Second World War and the conflict there, that of course commenced whenever Hitler invaded Poland. It was on the 1st of September, 1939. A few years ago, I was in Poland, a place called Gdansk, and I was able to visit some of the sites where the very first shots in the Second World War were fired. And of course, there was a great price there to be paid by the Polish people. They have recently in that area put up a very large state-of-the-art museum to commemorate the Second World War. The Poles fought bravely at that time, but they were heavily outnumbered and they had many casualties and many deaths. It was 2 days later, on the 3rd of September 1939, that Britain and France declared war on Germany. The battle lines were drawn, and that marked the commencement of 6 years of conflict, 6 years of bloodshed, 6 years until there would be that victory over the enemy. Whenever we come in the gospel to think of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, it brings us to consider that conflict, and it's an age-old conflict with the adversary. And we could date that conflict right back to Genesis chapter 3. And there in the verse 15, you have what is referred to as the proto-evangel. The first time that the gospel was preached, if you like. And of course, in this verse, we have the promise of the Savior. And the Lord says in Genesis 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here, whenever we're thinking of that conflict. And I want you to notice there from Genesis 3 and 15 that it's the Lord himself who's declaring war on Satan. It's the Lord who says, "I will put enmity." It's the Lord here who's entering into that battle. The warfare here is going to commence, that conflict between the Lord and the adversary. The battle lines are drawn right from Genesis 3 and the verse 15. And there you have the seed of the woman. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promised Savior. That's the Messiah, the anointed of God who would come forth into this world. And the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. That, of course, is the devil himself. And you have there the battle commencing, the warfare between the Lord and the adversary, between Christ and Satan. And here we have in the promise of the gospel, the Savior who would come forth. He would come forth to conquer. He would come forth to defeat the adversary. And over in the New Testament in 1 John, and the chapter 3, and in the latter part of verse 8, we have the Apostle John actually telling us for the very purpose as to why the Lord Jesus Christ would come. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, halfway through, we read this sentence, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming into this world. And what is his purpose? What is his mission? That he may destroy the works of the devil. That he may break the power of Satan. May break the stronghold of Satan. And in the Gospel of John, and the chapter 12, as the Lord is going forth soon to Calvary, in John chapter 12 and the verses 31 and 32, the Lord says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And there's the Savior with the prospect of Calvary and the cross before him. And he's saying, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The Lord was coming forth to the conflict. He was coming forth to face the adversary. And there you can see his mission and his purpose to destroy the works of the devil, to cast out the prince of this world. And when he would be lifted up upon that center tree, he was going to bruise the serpent's head. John chapter 14. The Lord speaks, of course, in this chapter about leaving the disciples and leaving this world. And in John 14 and the verse 30, the Lord said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And there as the Lord is drawing closer to Calvary, he's saying, "The prince of this world cometh." The battle here is before the Savior, and he's going forward to face the foe. In John chapter 16 and the verse 11, he says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The devil was going to be judged. The Lord was entering into the battle. The Lord was entering into the conflict. And so, having thought there a little bit about the conflict, we would come to think about the conquest. It's the conquest of the Savior. Here's that actual victory itself. And whenever you think again of VE Day, victory in Europe, that was the day when you were to mark that victory, the end of World War II, the victory over the enemy. And it was a most powerful victory. But there was a great cost. Many lives would be lost before the victory would be won. Much blood would be shed. World War II is referred to as the deadliest military conflict in history. The deadliest military conflict in history. I looked it up, and there's somewhere an estimation of about 80 million lives that were lost in World War II. If we were trying to put that into some sort of perspective, we know at the moment this pandemic of COVID-19 that has spread across the world and has become a global problem. But yet, even to this point, it's somewhere in the region of 280,000 lives that have been lost. Nowhere near the 80 million lives that were lost in World War II. And that does put things into perspective here. There was victory. There was a great conquest, but there was a price that had to be paid. A devastating cost of war. You mentioned Poland already, and they had upwards of 6 million people who lost their lives, most of them Jews in the Holocaust. Bringing it closer to home, the United Kingdom, somewhere in the region of 500,000 lives. Victory. But victory had a price. When you come to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, we can say, "Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But of course, and even thinking on those words, we know the price that had to be paid. That victory that came through our Lord Jesus Christ and through his great work upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer. He had to pour out his precious blood onto death. He had to endure the agony. He had to go through the suffering in order to secure the victory, in order to purchase our salvation. And you could picture this evening in your mind's eye something of Calvary. And you think of the Savior there, that bloody spectacle as he hangs upon that center tree. But to the outward eye, We can see something of his suffering. We see the physical, the literal suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in body. We could see something of the pain that he had to endure. But I say to you this evening, there was much more taking place than what the outward eye could ever have observed. Sin, you see, was being laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The wrath of God against sin was being poured out upon him there, that the Lord suffered not only in body, but he suffered in his soul as he hung upon the tree. And it doesn't appear to the outward eye that it looked anything like victory. In fact, it would have looked just to the outward eye as a picture of defeat. The Lord Jesus Christ, his life has ended. He's there upon the cross. He's nailed to the tree. He's shedding his blood. He's dying there. To the outward eye, it appears like defeat. But I say to you there, he is crushing Satan's head. The Lord Jesus Christ has wrought that great victory. And through his substitutionary sacrificial death upon the tree, the power of Satan has been broken, and it has been everlastingly broken. That victory is wrought through, our text says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of sin, the power of death, the power of hell, is broken. It has been smashed. We could look to the grave and it would hold no fear. We could stare death in the face and it would hold no terror. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through all of that for his people. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us here. If you look there in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And there's the victory of the cross. There's the great conquest of the Savior. There's the triumph of the Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. And the apostle goes on to say in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Calling out to the grave and saying, O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, the sting of death is sin, but the Lord has dealt with that. He's had victory over sin and death. Victory over hell for his people. That's why with our text of Scripture, Paul can say, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Victory in Jesus. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The great work that he accomplished there upon that center tree. And as we remember tonight the victory, we think about the conflict with Satan. We think about the conquest of the Savior, but thirdly, the conversion of the soul. We must think about the conversion of the soul in relation to the victory, because from our text of Scripture, the Apostle says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's giving us the victory. What an announcement that is. What a statement that is. Have you seen the footage of that first VE day 75 years ago, that announcement? The 8th of May, 1945. The Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill, after 6 years of war, he's able to declare, he's able to announce the hostility, the war is finally over. There's peace. King George VI, he would speak about deliverance, being set free from the enemy, being set free from bondage, being set free from domination. And as those announcements were being made, as the statements were being read, there was a sense of relief that began to spread across the land and nation, and it turned to a sense of great joy and celebration. Do you know that's what victory brings? That's what the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ brings. It brings it to that sinful soul. He giveth us the victory. We can receive that victory. The victory that the Savior won for us. The victory that the Savior accomplished for His people. The victory that the Savior purchased with His own precious blood. He gives it to us. Those who will receive that gift from the Lord, those who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can enter into that victory. And as we enter into that victory, there's peace. Peace for that troubled heart. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a troubled soul tonight? You know you're not right with God. The Holy Spirit would convict you under the preaching of the gospel. You don't have that peace within tonight. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased it at Calvary. He's made peace through the blood of His cross. He has won the victory for us there over sin and death and hell. Would you receive it tonight? Would you claim the victory? You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's freedom there. Those held in bondage to the adversary, held in bondage to sin, unable of themselves to break free. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, He breaks the bands of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. There's liberty tonight. There's freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His victory. Freedom from being dominated by the devil. Paul was writing to the believers at Rome. That wonderful chapter in Romans chapter 8. He said in verse 37, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Of ourselves, we're not a fit match for the adversary. But the Lord Jesus Christ giveth us the victory. And as He gives us the victory, He gives us power. That sin and Satan shall not have dominion over us, but we're able to become not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. And it's through Him that loved us, it's the Savior giving us the victory. Gives us that peace, gives us deliverance, gives us pardon. The burden is lifted. There's a sense there of relief whereby the joy of the Lord begins to fill the heart. The joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven. The joy of knowing that it is well with our soul and that we're heaven bound. We can live not in defeat. We can live in victory. 1 John chapter 5. The verse 4, John says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Able to overcome this old world. He goes on to say in that same verse, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Coming to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and we become overcomers. And we can overcome all that this old world can ever throw at us. The final book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. In Revelation chapter 12, And there in the 11th verse, and it's speaking here about the redeemed of the Lord, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Those who would suffer for the cause of Christ and the gospel, those who would face even the enemy and the adversary, they would overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It's the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory that you can know within your heart, within your soul, and within your life. Victory in Jesus. Over the past few days, we've had some comparisons made between the coronavirus and the Second World War. Although, as I indicated earlier, that calls for caution. But we could say today the coronavirus is a new battle that we're having to face. There's a new enemy there. It's a very different enemy. It's an invisible enemy, but it's a deadly enemy. And because of it, there are many who are living in fear, and even the fear of death, the fear of the future. I say to you tonight, you enter in to the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ by making him your Lord and Savior and coming to trust in him. You need not fear the future. You need not fear what it holds. You don't have to fear death nor the grave. You don't have to fear judgment in eternity, because you would be saved. And you would know the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would say this evening, saved through Jesus' blood. Saved through Jesus' blood. I urge upon each one of you tonight to enter into the victory of our Lord and Savior, that you could say with the apostle, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to every heart this evening.